Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're taking a fascinating look at a great new book. I urge all of you to get it. It's available for pre-sale on Amazon as we speak. It's The Allergy Solution, the surprising hidden truth about why you are sick and how to get well, by a really trusted source, a really very, very key thinker in the field of integrative medicine, Dr. Leo Galland, who's today's guest. He wrote the book along with his son, Jonathan Galland, who provides a very, very crucial environmental perspective on allergies, because if we live in a toxic world, we're going to experience symptoms of toxicity. That's an important component. But so coming back to the theme of allergy, give us an example. You know, you really, I would say, are an allergy detective, and I think you really relish that role of, you know, taking complex patients who have bewildering symptoms and breaking it down and doing kind of a sleuthing job on their lifestyles, their diets, what's going on, what are the triggers, what are the antecedents. So give us an example of, some of the, actually in the book is laden with examples from your clinical practice of how you arrived at an unusual solution to a patient's problem.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. What I'd like to say first, though, sure, is that what I really try to do, and I know I've done my job well when I see this happen, is to help my patients become the detective. Mm-hmm. So that they figure it out, and then they come back to me to check it out. And nothing gives me more pleasure than if I've seen, and this happens quite often actually, patient will come in to see me that I haven't seen in several years. Maybe they're just checking up, maybe they have a new problem. And, you know, so I'll say, well, what's been going on in the past few years, and, you know, get caught up on what's happened in their lives. And the person will say, well, about 2 years ago, I was starting to get these symptoms back. This problem that you had helped me with before came back, and I was going to call you and come in, but I thought, well, what would Galland tell me to do? And so I did it.
It's sort of like WWGD as opposed to WWJD. It was a new acronym.
Right. And so they, you know, then I know I really did my job well, because our job is to be a teacher and to help our patients figure out how to solve their problems. Mm-hmm. That is actually what the purpose of the book is. It's, you know, it's to allow you not to need to consult me, but to be able to do this on your own. You know, it almost doesn't matter what your problem is. What I have in the book, in The Allergy Solution, is there's a self-questionnaire and checklist. Mm-hmm. that is in there to help you decide, are my problems allergic? What are likely to be the allergic triggers? And then a program that allows you to figure out how to modify those triggers and your response to them. Mm-hmm. So that at the end you come out being, number one, less allergic, and number two, being free from the kind of problems that you entered with. I mean, that's the goal of The Allergy Solution. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite cases, there's just so many, but the one that was really striking to me, which is not in the book, by the way, so a young woman that I had seen about 4 or 5 years ago, who came in totally disabled and in severe chronic pain. She could not even sit on a chair comfortably. She had so much pain, especially in the pelvic area, but all over her body, was out of work, and you know, when I looked at, she had tried to make some changes herself. She had been given some medications by a rheumatologist, and they sort of worked and then didn't work, and then she started to develop side effects. And I picked up on her diet, And some of the factors in her diet that she had noticed that there seemed to be some relationship with food, but it wasn't really clear to her. And so I developed this technique called the power wash to help people identify whether they're sensitive to food and how the food that they're eating impacts on their health. So for 3 days, you do a kind of a clean out where you're just having a smoothie and a soup and tea. And the specific tea is oolong tea. Mm-hmm. And I chose that one for a reason. And the ingredients in the soup and the smoothie are chosen to do two things. Number one is eliminate all of the major and most common food allergens. And number two, feed your immune system with the nutrients that it needs to detoxify and begin building up the anti-allergic, allergy-fighting aspect of the immune response. And then you start to add foods back one at a time. Well, what this young woman discovered over time is that there were two major foods that made her sick and that created her symptoms, which were dairy products and wheat products. Mm-hmm. Not surprising, they're pretty right. major allergens. Mm-hmm. I've seen that combination of wheat and dairy contribute to all sorts of diseases and disorders that literally disappear when those foods are removed from the diet. But the allergy solution is not just about, well, eliminate wheat and dairy, because mm-hmm. that's true for some people.
Right. Different strokes for different folks. If it were that simple, you know, it would just, a lot of people wouldn't require individualized care.
Yeah, individuality is really the rule individualized solutions are the rule for allergies in particular. And so, you know, within the space of a few weeks, her pain was gone. She was back at work. She had been in so much pain she had not even been able to have intercourse. And, you know, she's now had two kids. She's working full-time. She's not taking any medication. I had given her as an interim step a number of different supplements. She doesn't even really need the supplements anymore. Mm-hmm. Just as long as she sticks with the diet. And it isn't just avoiding. See, that's the other problem. One of the big problems with allergy elimination diets, as they're called, is it's not just about avoiding things, because you can avoid yourself. You can paint yourself into a corner
yes. mm-hmm.
if you just keep avoiding things.
Right.
You need to nourish your immune system. Mm-hmm. I saw a young man who had he had severe eczema, and he found that certain foods bothered it, so he avoided them. And then he found that certain other foods bothered it, and so he avoided them. And then he tried following a very trendy diet that involves bone broth and stuff like that, which sort of helped him, but it didn't really solve his problems. And by the time he came to see me, he was just eating beef and carrots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these people paint themselves into a corner, you know, and slowly
become
universal reactors. They're afraid to drink tap water.
Right, right. So, you know, when I evaluated him, there were a couple of things that turned up. Number one, his gut bacteria were totally depleted of some of the healthy allergy-fighting bacteria like lactobacillus and bifidobacteria. Mm-hmm. There was an overgrowth of yeast. He was deficient in zinc and vitamin D. And correcting those things within 6 weeks, 95% of his food allergies were gone. Mm-hmm. And his skin was in the best shape it had been for years. Where were we going with this, Ron?
Well,
you had asked me about
cases.
Stories.
And yeah, right.
Cases, yeah.
But while we're on the subject, you know, you mentioned zinc and vitamin D as being important nutrients. And, you know, you contend that after a while people can dispense with these nutrients. But what are some of the key nutrients that, if deficient, can predispose to allergies? You mentioned several in the book.
Oh yeah, well we there's really good data to explain how zinc, vitamin D, magnesium, selenium, are nutrients that, when deficient, can help to cause allergies, and correcting the deficiency, sometimes with supplementation, I like to try and do it with food, can reverse the allergies. And then there are the bioflavonoids. And, you know, no one ever uses the term bioflavonoid deficiency, because they're not considered essential nutrients like a vitamin or a mineral. But the fact is that I think most of the chronic disorders that we see in the Western world involve, as part of their causation, deficiencies of bioflavonoids, a lack of intake.
Should they be taken in a dietary form, or should they be taken in supplemental form?
Oh, you have to get them from food, because, I mean, there are 400 of these.
Right.
And
so we're basically talking about fresh fruits and vegetables, because they're not, you know, found in animal proteins.
Right. And fruits, vegetables, herbs, spices, and teas are the main dietary sources. So oolong tea, well, let's take tea, for example.
Okay. Rich in quercetin. Quercetin is one of them.
Right. EGCG is another. Mm-hmm. But there are some that are unnamed. And as the tea leaves change with when you go from green to oolong to black tea, there's an increasing amount of fermentation. It changes the bioflavonoid content and consequently the health characteristics. And it's not as if, well, green tea is the healthiest. There are things that green tea doesn't do that black tea can do. Mm-hmm. Oolong has a particular effect. It not only helps with weight loss, it also has anti-allergic activity to an extent that is not found in green tea and in black tea. And that's why I favor oolong tea as part of the allergy solution. And the names of the flavonoids in oolong tea that do this, I mean, they haven't even been named. We only know from controlled studies and from experimental studies in animals. They're in oolong tea and they're not in other forms of tea.
Oolong tea is also reputed to be helpful for hypertension, right? Is similar mechanism or something different?
You know, it may be a different mechanism. I'm not sure. I don't think that that's been elicited or elucidated as yet.
Okay.
But what has been shown, I mean, controlled clinical trial in Japan, people with eczema that were refractory to medical treatment, 10 grams or oolong tea, the amount that's made from 10 grams of tea leaves, which is 4 or 5 tea bags a day, within 12 weeks, produced a dramatic improvement in the eczema.
Wonderful.
And then there are specific flavonoids that are concentrated in particular foods that seem to be important. There's physeetin in strawberries. There's apigenin, which is found in parsley.
Celery.
I mean, there are no supplements of these.
Mm-hmm.
And each of them has its own unique set of effects and interacts with other flavonoids to reverse the allergic phenomena in the body.
So, and that's the basis of your concoction that you have patients use during their power cleanse, is it's a synergy of some of those key nutrients that are not available in capsule form necessarily or as supplements.
Yes, yeah, that's how we chose the foods for the power wash, by looking at the number one, their potential for being allergens themselves. And of course, there's no food that somebody in the world isn't allergic to, but we went with the statistics. What are the least likely foods to do this? And then balance that against the need for these critical nutrients that your immune system needs to combat allergy.
Do you put much stock in omega-3 fatty acids or fish oil as a allergy quencher?
Omega-3s are important. I mean, they're certainly part of the formula. And the best data on omega-3s actually exists for asthma and for the ability of omega-3s as supplements and in food to prevent and also to reverse asthma. And there's in the allergy solution, I review all of the data on that. There's really extensive experimental data using randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trials done all over the world in different countries demonstrating benefits of omega-3s for asthma. And so definitely an increased intake of omega-3s compared to the standard Western diet is essential. But just taking omega-3 supplements by themselves isn't going to be enough. And so the approach that we've taken in the allergy solution is, yeah, we do give the nod to the important supplements that are established with scientifically to help allergy, but we really look to food as the basis. It's the food is medicine approach.
Great.
You can't, not the supplements are medicine approach.
Mm-hmm. You, in the book, state that allergies can produce brain impairment on a par with powerful sedatives or alcohol. So that opens up our lens to, you know, various types of mood disorders like depression, dementia, you know, any number of brain-related problems.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure you've seen that in your practice. I mean, it sometimes is very dramatic. And what was fascinating to me, I mean, I've seen patients who were psychotic become normal with a dietary change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing when you see it.
I've seen it too.
And the first time I saw it, it was a patient in an emergency room, and I thought, there's no way that just changing this guy's diet is going to make him normal. Within 4 days, maybe 5 days, when I went in to talk to him, he was still in the hospital, he was as lucid and intelligent as anybody that I had ever had a conversation with.
That speaks very poorly for our nursing home and our institutional practices of feeding junk to patients with mental disorders.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Now, but what was really fascinating to me when I was writing the allergy solution was the impact of pollen allergies on the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is something I hadn't even particularly thought about because I've seen food allergy and mold allergy have such potent effects on the brain, contributing to mood disorders and cognitive dysfunction of any level of intensity. But just to prove the allergy-brain connection, there's this amazing study from the Netherlands on driving performance, and another one from the Washington Veterans Hospital. So what these researchers did, and the ones in the Netherlands, this was very recently, and it was really fascinating. They took people who had pollen allergies, and they tested them out of season on a closed driving course, and they saw how well they drove, and they tested their skills and all of that. They then exposed them to tiny levels, amounts of the pollen to which they were allergic, and retested them on the same course. Now, ordinarily, you do the same test on a course. The second time, you're going to perform better than you did the first time. What they found was that the pollen exposure impaired driving performance to the same extent as having a blood alcohol level of 0.05%,
wow,
which is the legal limit in most places, and which most people get from drinking two cocktails.
Hmm.
I mean, that is really pretty profound.
Mm-hmm.
And they also found impairment of memory. And then in the Veterans Hospital, they did the same thing, and they found that that cognitive performance was affected to the same extent as taking a sedative drug.
Mm-hmm. And of course, if you take an antihistamine, the so-called non-sedating antihistamines, they may quell your runny nose or your itching, but they also have cognitive effects.
Yeah,
so
they,
A lot of people walking around.
Right. They don't fully. None of those drugs actually restores the cognitive impairment to normal.
Right.
They make you feel more comfortable, so maybe at some level you perform better. But it's not normal. And that's just proof of the allergy brain, you know, of brain allergy.
Yeah, this is a very, very important aspect.
And I've seen, you know, I've seen the identification of brain allergy and the reversal of brain allergy through nutrition in particular, just to dramatically change people's lives.
So on a maybe a less profound level, more cosmetic level, you contend that weight gain can be associated with allergies. How does that work?
This is really fascinating research, and I'm sure that you've seen this phenomenon in your practice.
The allergic craving cycle, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah, well, right. People get into, you know, people are trying to lose weight, and they're not really losing weight. They're doing all the same things their friends are doing, and their friends are losing weight, and they're not. The cravings may be part of it, but even without the cravings, they cut back on their calories. They're using portion control. They're they're exercising, and they're still not losing weight. And then they cut out specific foods or specific food groups, and the weight just starts to melt. And so we have a whole chapter of allergy solution on weight gain and weight loss and allergies and the impact. Now the research is quite fascinating. What the research, well, first of all, at the clinical level, what the research has shown, these are observational studies that have been done, that people who have allergies are more likely to be overweight than people who don't. There's a strong association, and it's a bidirectional association. If you're already overweight, you're more likely to develop allergies. And if you already have allergies, you're more likely to gain weight. People with asthma, for example, are more likely to gain weight after the diagnosis of asthma is made. And so the allergic illness comes first, then the weight gain. But sometimes it's the other way. The weight gain comes first, then the allergic illness. So what the laboratory research tells us is pretty amazing. An allergic reaction to occur in your body involves certain chemicals to be released. These chemicals are released by cells called mast cells, and they include things like histamine. Mast cells are the main source of histamine in the body, but there are actually 200 different chemicals released by mast cells when there's an allergic reaction. One of these, and maybe there are more, but there's one that was studied, which goes by the name of prostaglandin J2, or PGJ2, increases the growth of fat cells and makes them get larger.
Wow.
And this is research that was done at Harvard.
It's the smoking gun.
Yeah. And in fact, then what they found with animals was that if they depleted the animals of mast cells, that the animals could not develop diet-induced obesity. So the mast cell activity, or the presence of mast cells, is not only essential for allergy, it's essential for diet-induced weight gain. Now, when the fat cells get larger, this is where the vicious cycle occurs. Fat is the main source of an anti-inflammatory hormone in your body called adiponectin. And, you know, adiponectin plays an important role in reversing or preventing diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease. It's a major anti-inflammatory hormone, and it's only produced by fat cells. And the crazy part about it is that the larger your fat cells get, the less adiponectin they produce. So it's skinny people that have the highest levels of adiponectin.
Paradoxically.
And as you start to get fatter and fatter, the levels drop. Now, one of the effects of adiponectin that isn't well known is it actually suppresses allergic reactions.
Wow.
And so you get this vicious cycle. The allergic reaction makes your fat cells grow larger, and then the larger fat cells make less adiponectin, which allows your allergic reactions to be more severe. And, you know, just it's a real vicious cycle of allergy and weight gain.
And then you get the insulin resistance effects associated with adiponectin and so on, and you're off to the races.
Yeah,
towards diabetes.
Then there's this whole cascade of pathologic effects from loss of adiponectin and increased inflammation that occur that affect, you know, every other aspect of your health, you know, from arthritis to heart disease to diabetes. And in order to really reverse that, for a lot of people, you have to eliminate the foods to which they're allergic. And I think that's one of the reasons why these various kind of fad diets that come along.
The wheat belly diet,
really,
for example.
Really fly with certain people.
I mean, there's some people who just, like the wheat belly diet, for example, where they just, you know, just simply by the elimination of wheat or grains, people lose more weight than it would seem just by the caloric equation, because they may minimally reduce calories, but they eliminate a category of foods that they're sensitive to, and boom, weight comes off.
Right, that are major allergens. I mean, wheat is one of the most allergenic foods that we have in our country. You know, and there's corn, and I would say the five major foods that are responsible for inability to lose weight are wheat, corn, soy, dairy, and yeast. Now, sometimes people will find other foods. As I said, there's no food that somebody isn't allergic to. I mean, I've even seen people allergic to broccoli. But but for almost everybody, it's going to come out of those five categories of foods. Mm-hmm. And so we have a program in the Allergy Solution for people who can't easily lose weight to identify their food allergies as a key step in weight loss.
You know, it's always a pleasure to enter into your thought processes on a subject, because when you tackle a subject, you tackle it masterfully and extremely thoroughly. So what's today's Intelligent Medicine call to action? We know the book is coming out in a month. We can direct our listeners to Amazon, where there's an excerpt of the book. The book is called The Allergy Solution. And what other resources are there?
Okay, well, we're putting resources up on the website, drgallen.com, and we are a good place to start with the book is with the self-assessment questionnaire. Mm-hmm. It will help you decide how to prioritize the steps that you need to take. You know, go ahead and check out the excerpt from the book that Amazon is, it's a generous excerpt that Amazon has made available. The book is available now. It'll be shipped, you know, in about a month or so. And you'll be able to prepare yourself for the program. I think a good place to start is just by, you know, look at your environment, look at your diet, and ask yourself, are there areas here that may be contributing to the symptoms that I have? Do you feel better when you leave your home, for example? Do you feel better if you don't eat for a day? Those are some questions that can help you start thinking about how to really reclaim your health by overcoming the allergies that are keeping your health down.
And the book is also a clarion call for environmental activism, personified by your son's participation, Jonathan Gallen, who makes a very, very persuasive case for taking care of some of the toxic things that provoke allergies.
Yeah, what we are doing to our environment is what we're doing to ourselves. And our own health is very closely related to the health of the environment in which we live and to the environment that we are creating. The good news is that you can start taking steps immediately. Even if you can't begin to reverse global warming and automotive and industrial pollution, you can take steps to make your home environment less toxic. And by taking care of yourself, you will be taking care of the planet. There's an antibacterial substance called triclosan.
Mm-hmm.
It's like part of this vicious cycle of allergy. 50% of people in this country have triclosan coming out of their noses, because when you use it, it's absorbed through your skin.
Yeah.
It goes into your body, and you flush it down the drain. So it goes into the environment. It contaminates streams. It destroys their ecosystems. And at the same time, it's destroying your own personal ecosystem and allowing the overgrowth of toxic bacteria like staph, which then are promoting allergy. There's so many ways in which we were able to connect the dots in the allergy solution. And I was amazed to see that nobody else had really actually put all of this together and connected them the same way.
Well, it's a wonderful book. And the website is, one of your websites is PillAdvised, one word, www.pilladvised.com. And there's another website at drgallan.com.
Yes. D-R-G-A-L-L-A-N-D, drgalland.com. And that's where the landing page for the book is, and a lot of the supportive information.
Well, great. Once again, you know, a wonderful contribution to the field of integrative medicine. I really admire your work. The book is The Allergy Solution. Our guest, Dr. Leo Galland. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine Podcast.